attention as Mother's Day, unfortunately. We've been in a Father's Day series. And so the message that I have for you today is what it means to trust God as Father. And this is something that I have struggled with recently. So it's always nice when Jesus gives you a word for yourself. So for the principal scripture for the series, The series that we've been in, the name of it has been My Father Approves of Me. And the principal scripture for the series has been Matthew 3:16-17, where it says, "After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him. And behold, a voice out of heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" So again, we've been talking about what it means to be approved by our Father. And so the principal scripture for the message that I'm going to speak today about trusting God as Father is from Isaiah 26:3-4. And it says, "The steadfast of mind, you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in God, the Lord, we have an everlasting rock." So when I was going over this kind of in my head and in my spirit, and as God was talking to me about this, one of the things that I feel like God started out talking to me about is the fact that our trust in God is what brings us peace, and that without trusting him, we can't have peace. Like, our life is a wreck. And so, because what ends up happening is that we start to rely on our own way and our own will and our own effort to get things done. And I don't know about you, but I'm not real good at doing a whole lot of stuff. And so I typically, you know, overexert myself and use a lot of energy trying to accomplish something that if I simply were to trust in God and stand on his solid foundation, I would probably use a whole lot less effort. Okay. And so, God is our only guarantee in life. Like, he's the only thing that guarantees that we'll have peace. Like, we can seek peace in other things and we can seek satisfaction in other things, but it's always, it's always an empty gesture that we go and do whatever it is that we think that may satisfy us. But when it's all said and done, we end up usually emptier than we started out. Okay. And so there's this notion of, so how do I trust God as my Father? And, I personally believe I have a wonderful Father. There we go. I knew I would get one amen. But I personally believe I have a great Father. And one of the things that I know is that God gave us earthly fathers to help us better relate to him. Unfortunately, because of the fall of man, and especially in my generation, the epidemic of fatherlessness has caused it to be difficult for people to translate fatherhood to God. Because if you have a poor father on the earth, how could you possibly trust God as Father and you can't see him? If your natural father who gave you actual life is not to be trusted, how can the God of the universe be trusted? Okay. And so there are a couple of things. I only got 3 points. You know, I like to keep it short. that God gave me. And again, he used my natural father to help me really come up with these points, because it was one of those things of saying, like, what are the things that my own father does for me and to get me to trust him? Okay. So the first point is trusting that everything God does is for your good. Okay. The first step to trusting God as Father is trusting that what he does is for your good. There's nothing that my dad has ever asked of me that I ever thought would, like, bring me harm. Okay. Like, there have been times when my dad has told me, "Charmaine, I need you to do X, Y, and Z." And in my mind, it didn't make any sense. But I felt no need to question what he was telling me to do, because I wholeheartedly believe that whatever it was, it needed to be done. And that in him telling me to do it, it wouldn't bring me any harm. But a lot of times we have an issue having that same correlation with God. That if God tells us to do something that doesn't make any sense and it doesn't seem like it's going to work out, and we can't trace the line and say, I can see how point A connects to point B, then we doubt whether or not his command is for our good. And so with that comes this lack of trust, because what I'm then saying is that I know better than you. That I've been that you don't know as much about my situation as I know about my situation, and I can accomplish more within this than you can. And I question whether or not you really were going to do this to help me out. Like, because for whatever reason, people think God likes punishing them, you know? And so, in Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give a future and a hope." Okay. That was our family scripture. That was probably the first scripture I ever memorized, because it was a scripture that my mom constantly prayed over my brother and I, and also constantly reminded us of, that regardless of what we may be going through, that the plans of God for us are good. That even when it may not feel good, and I think that as humans, we think that if God's plan for us is good, that means that it's supposed to be easy. And that's not the same thing. That it being easy doesn't necessarily correlate with it being good. That it being good could be difficult. It may hurt naturally. It may be a struggle. But in the end, it will work out, and it will be for my benefit. It being good. And if we think about it, as humans, and especially in 2019, we got a different definition of what good is. You know, how we define goodness, how we define what's good for us, is different than how God defines good. But the reality is that God is the only one who can define good, because he defined it from the very beginning. Even if we go back to Genesis, God is the one who defined what was good. And everything he created, he said, he looked at it and said, it is good. The only thing he said that wasn't good was that it wasn't good for man to be alone. So if God is the one who's saying that this is good and this isn't good in 2019, he's still the one who can define goodness. That we don't have the ability to define what is good for us. And so if I trust God as my father, then what I'm literally saying is that you define what is good for me, even if it doesn't feel good to me. That you have the ability to define the thing that's going to get me where you need me to be, even if I don't like it. Because you are the one who defines goodness. Okay. Another scripture, Romans 8:28, says, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." So again, if Jeremiah 29:11 says that, "I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for good and not calamity, to give you a future and a hope." And then Romans 8:28 says that he'll work all things together for the good of those who love him. That means that, again, even when things don't seem right, even when in my natural mind I can't get it to make sense, God is still working it out for my good. But the only way I can see that is if I trust him. That I have to be able to know that he is my father and that he loves me. That the nature of a father is to want goodness for their children. Like I don't know a good father, and I preface that, a good father, okay? I don't know a good father who would not go to extreme lengths to make sure that things don't work out for their child. So, when I was younger, even now, my dad used to tell me and my brother, when we got to a certain, I think I was maybe 12, 13, my dad said that he was redefining the relationship that me and my brother had with him. Okay. He liked to do this occasionally. And so he told us, he said, from now on, just about anything you come and tell me that you're going to do, as long as it ain't going to kill you or end you up in jail, I'm going to probably go along with it. He said, now, the stipulation to this is that if you tell me that you're going to go do something and it doesn't work out for you, you got to take the heat for it. You got to take the consequences. But if you come to me and say, this is my situation, I need your advice, help me out with it, and I give you advice and you do it and it doesn't work, I'll take the blame for it. Me and my brother took that conversation two very different ways. Okay? My brother heard, ooh, that means I can do whatever I want. I heard, I got somebody to take the blame for me. But what it did was, it fostered this relationship of trust between me and my dad. And that even now at 31 years old, I'll go to him and say, hey, I got a situation. Let me talk to you about it. We'll talk it out. He'll give me his advice. And he'll tell me whether or not he's talking to me as my pastor, as the prophet, as my father. If he just thinks this is something I should do, like, he'll clarify how it is that he's giving the advice. But again, because I trust him, I trust the fact that the advice that he's given me isn't going to bring me any harm. And for the past 31 years, like, the advice he's given me has always worked out. So I'm like, I can bank on that. But if I can trust him like that, God then says, well, why can't you trust me like that? God literally asked me that question one day. God was asked me to do something as usual, and me and I was debating with him about it. And then, like, not too long after, my dad asked me to do something. I was like, all right, cool. And I just did it. And I heard the voice of the Lord as clear as day and say, why can't you trust me the way that you trust him? Because again, God gave me my father in order to help me relate better to him. But the reality is that I have a responsibility to translate that relationship. That I have to be able to translate the goodness of my natural father and say, is not God better than him? Can God not do more than him? Can God not advise me better? Can God not see more than him? If that's the case and I can trust my natural father, then I should be able to trust God. Okay, all right, we gonna move on. So the first point was trusting that God, that everything God does is for your good. Second point is believing that every word spoken by God is the truth. In order to trust God as your father, you have to believe that he won't lie to you. Once again, I'm 31 years old, and I don't believe my father has ever told me a lie. Now, he might have. I mean, I don't know. But I don't believe he has. If he has, he told it very convincingly. Because I can't fathom in my mind that my dad would lie to me. That if he says something, he's going to follow through. I learned that at a real young age. When I was probably, I think, in the third or fourth grade, my daddy told me, he was like, for every A that you get on your report card, I'll give you $5. I said, what? Okay. I said, I'm about to be banking around here. So I come home with a report card, and I got a whole bunch of A's. Got maybe one B on there. And I saw my report card. I was excited. I said, man, I'm about to give me some money. I went home and I ran to my dad. I said, look, and of course I was proud of what I had done, but I showed him, I was like, look at my report card. I said, look at all the A's that I got. He's like, oh, you did a good job. I said, remember you had told me that for every A that I got, you would give me $5? I counted all my A's. And right now I'm learning multiplication. But the fact was that because he told me something, and this is months before my report card had come out, because he told me something, I believed it. I held him to it. I said, you told me you was going to, if I did this, you would do it for me. And he came through. And so him coming through repeatedly builds trust. And so the question then becomes, how often has God come through for you? When was the last time God did something that he said he would do? And if he did it the last time, why are we now doubting whether or not he'll do it this time? If his track record is perfect and he's come through each time, then why does it then cause us to doubt him when we get to this one thing that we've never seen before? Okay. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said and he will not do it? Or has he spoken and he will not make it good? God isn't like us. He's not like us. That he literally cannot tell a lie. If he says something, it is going to be. It already is. And so if you're talking about the God of the universe that, and think about this, you're talking about the God of the universe who said, let there be, and there was. And so before he said, let there be, there was nothing. All of a sudden he says something and there is. So if it comes to my situation and he says, let there be, there will be. Because he can't lie. He is a creative God. Even his words create. And so if he's spoken it, it has to be true. Whether or not I can actually see it, we don't know how long it took light to start showing up. It just says, he said it and it was. Wasn't nobody around to confirm it, so, you know. Got to take his word for it. And so, again, for us, and remember, and one of the things that God constantly has to remind me of is that our punishment for sin is time. That time is our punishment. That we once existed in eternity where time didn't matter and that we weren't looking at a clock and we didn't have to worry about whether or not time was going to run out. But because of the fall of man, now we're always looking at a clock. We're always looking at how fast something is happening, whether or not it's happening when we think it should happen. But we have to also remember that our God exists outside of time and space. That not even heaven can contain him. So if that's the case, I don't think that he's really worried about our timetable. That for him, he like, why are you stressing? What's the big deal? It's only been a few seconds. But for us as humans, it takes a lot to take on that frame of mind. It's difficult for us to wrap our minds around that, again, because we only know how to work within the time in a time frame. Like, we define everything by time, but that's not how God defines things. And so understanding that if God is my father, then what he says must be true regardless of whether it's currently present. That the way that God kind of, because again, I'm a little slow sometimes. And so God has to, you know, break things down to me in real simplistic terms. And so the way that he helped me to come to terms with, you know, this whole time thing is that I always say to myself, it already exists. The only thing I'm waiting is just to catch up with God's time. It's somewhere down there. I don't know how far. It's somewhere. I'm just waiting to catch up to it. Because, again, if God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that means he exists all throughout my timeline. That he's where I was, he's where I am, and he's where I will be. And so if that's the case, then what he said has already happened. I just haven't caught up to it. And so, again, getting out of this mind frame of confining God to our timeline is how we can better relate to him as Father. And that he is to be trusted. And we should not, if we've had poor fathers, like, again, I don't know what my problem is because I got a good daddy, you know. Like, so, you know, me and God still working through that, like where my trust issue is, because I don't have a bad father. But I do know people who have either had absentee fathers or they don't have good examples for fathers. And I've seen them have a different struggle than I have. That their lack of trust in God as Father is rooted in them being distrusting of their natural father. That their natural father has failed them, so they believe God will fail them. That it's okay for God to save me, but for God to plan my life, I don't know about that. Because I don't know if God's intentions for me are good. And I don't know if God's words can be trusted. Because my own father's words can't be trusted. So why would I trust a God that I can't see? And so as believers, as disciples, we have to be intentional about knowing where we're at with our relationship and trusting God. Understanding and allowing God to reveal to us how our hurts from our natural father are impacting our relationship with him. And then understanding that while God gave us natural fathers in order to help reflect him, that if our natural father was a bad one, that is not a reflection of God. That we can't blame God for the fact that our father was bad. And that we can't then take our father's bad behavior and say, we're going to translate that to God because that's how my daddy was. That we have to then allow God to restore our faith in him as a father, because our natural father didn't do what God had ordained him to do. And sometimes in restoring your relationship with God as Father, it can then restore your relationship with your natural father. Because you learn what it means to be loved by a father through your relationship with Christ. And so, again, we're just in this ebb and flow with our relationship with God. And I don't know about you, but for me, like, I was able to disagree with my dad. Like, my dad allowed for me to disagree with him. But at the end of the day, he let me disagree. He let me give my point of view, why I felt like I should disagree. And then at the end of the day, he still got the final say, though. And so God is the same way, that he may say something. I was like, I don't know if I believe that. But we can have a conversation about it. We can talk through it. He's okay with me saying I'm having a little bit of problems believing what you're saying. But he's there to reassure. He's there to confirm and to approve and say that, you know, to allow for us and for him to reveal the area of our weakness, where that mistrust is coming from, so that then we can get to the step and say, all right, okay, it makes sense now. Even though it don't make sense, I'll still believe it. Even though I don't know if you really gonna do it, I don't know, but I'm gonna still believe you. Because how could you lie to me? If you're my dad, how could you lie to me? All right? So the last point. Understanding that God is concerned about everything that concerns you. Oftentimes, again, fathers get a bad rep especially in 2019, because of fatherlessness is so rampant. Most people feel like their father doesn't even care what happens to them, that they, you know, donated DNA and just, you know, I exist, but he doesn't care about what actually happens to me. He doesn't care if I eat. He doesn't care if I have somewhere to live, that I could be out here homeless and struggling, and he would not blink an eye. And so, again, that can cause for us to believe that, especially if we think that God is a far-off God, if we believe that he's just a deity far off in the cosmos that sits around and just watches us and moves us like chess pieces, then it makes it difficult for us to believe that God is concerned about what's happening. And sometimes that's hard to conceptualize. I know it is for me, that the guy who created the entire universe is concerned about what I got going on. Like, why would he be? Don't you got like 8 billion other people to worry about too? Like, how can you be as intricately involved in every detail of my life and 8 billion other people at the same time? But he is, because he has the capacity for it. It don't make sense to me, but I'll talk to him about it when I get to heaven. You know, I really want to know how he do that. Like, how did you juggle all that at one time? Because I feel like if you got more than one voice in your head, it might be a problem. It would be for me. You know, it would be for me. So, you know, but God hears all of us and exists within time, for all of us at the same time. And so if that's the case, then we have to believe that God is intelligent enough and complex enough to be able to handle the thing that's going on with me while managing everything else. Okay? And so scripture says in Matthew 6, we got a lot of reading, but Matthew 6, 25 through 33. And this is Jesus talking. And it says, "For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on it. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith, do not worry then say, what will I eat? Or what will I drink? Or what will I wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." So in reading that, one of the things that God revealed to me is that, again, God, before God created man, everything he created, he spoke it into existence. He spoke the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, all the beasts and everything like that. He spoke all of that. But he put his hands on man because he wanted man to look like him. And so if God created animals and then takes responsibility for caring for animals, why would he not care for his image bearer? Like, I feel like that would be the definition of a deadbeat dad. To create something and to not care for it. But God, But God takes care of even the smallest of creatures he created. He takes such care of it. And so, and these are creatures that, again, that God, that they're not created in the image of God. Like, they're creatures that God loves them, that God created them, but they were not created to bear God's image. So if we are supposed to be God's reflection, if God is supposed to look at us and see himself, then why would he not care for us? That why would he not be concerned about what's going on with us? My dad has fathered a lot of people. He's been a spiritual. I didn't like it when I was young. I was like, why are these people always around? I didn't understand it. But he fathered a lot of people. But when it came to me and my brother, it was always a little bit different. That there were things that I could request of my father that nobody else could, because I'm his image bearer. That the thing that concerns me concerns him. That when things are not right in my life, when things are not going the way that I believe they should or he believes they should, when my situation doesn't seem to be in right order, he's concerned about what's concerning me. That if it's a concern of mine, it's a concern of my father's. And he lets me know that. And so if he can do that as a fallen man, as much as I love you, but in all his imperfection, if he can do that, how much more can God? How much more can God be so intent about being involved in my circumstance? Even the smallest of things. If God knows how many hairs I have on my head, and I read that short stuff. Why does he know that? Like, why is that an important piece of information? But what God revealed to me in it was that it's just to show you how much I care about every detail of you. That to number the hairs in your head is important to me. And so we have to get into this mindset of understanding that if God is my father, then he's concerned. That if God is my father, that he intends for all things to be good for me. If God is my father, then I have to believe that what he's saying is true. So my encouragement to us as disciples, as believers, is if we had poor fathers, that we don't project that onto God. That we learn from those lessons, but we learn who God is as Father. And we ask God, teach me what it means to be loved by a father. Show me what it means to be loved by a father. And if we've had good fathers, if we've had fathers that we can trust, then let's at the very least extend that same courtesy to the God of the universe. To trust him the way that we trust our natural fathers, to give ourselves and to be willing to allow ourselves to believe, even just for a moment, believe that God is not going to do something that's going to hurt me. That's my time.